Nutrition Basics. This one was originally entitled Nutrition Atix, like nutrition with all the BS. It's like a play on words. Anyway, while talking to my father yesterday on the phone, we started discussing modern diets and how he was going to attack the next few months as he's looking for a change. He's looking at getting into some of the new stuff, specifically keto and zero sugar type stuff, hoping for a fat utilization reboot. The more questions he asked, the more I realized I just wasn't getting through. At one point, he stopped me and said, "Son, you are assuming I know which and how much of any given food is made up of carbs, protein, and/or fat. And this, I don't." "But Dad," I stated, "you taught me all of this." "No, I didn't," he said. "I planted the seed of your nutrition interest by teaching you how to use diet to lose weight, to taper before wrestling matches, and increase muscle. I don't know the details and the specifics." And bang, just like that, another great life lesson at the hands of a great master. I assumed he knew, and that all you guys know. And you know that assume makes an ass of you and me. I've been writing all this stuff for over 2 years. I've tried to get a lot of nutritional stuff to you guys lately, and at least part of it is in hieroglyphics. So here you go, the incredibly abridged crash course in nutrition. In the old days, we'd say the lessons with all the fat cut out. But guys, fats are good nowadays, not bad. So keep the fat, baby. Prior to my diatribe into nutrition, I think it's only fair to give you a brief course syllabus. Lesson one, most of what we were taught isn't exactly correct anymore. It seems that 100 years of research has shined some light onto dogma that has always been relayed as facts. So try to keep an open mind as I relate the new rules. There is by no means a definitive rule of nutrition. Everyone is going to have things that work and things that don't. Everyone responds to food differently. What I am offering is a way to grasp the basics so you can better experiment. Experiment on yourself. Lesson three, there's no superfoods, wonder drugs, and/or good or bad foods. Certain foods react different to different people, so use your head. Packaging labels, advertisements, books, magazine articles, they're all written with an objective in mind. The objective is almost always money, more money. So labels telling you how healthy stuff is, they're put on there by food packaging people in market research. An evil, spectacled, goatee-twisting, red BMW convertible-driving frat dudes that you hated in college. So you have to form your own opinions. Lesson four, this is going to start simple, and then just like sophomore year pre-calc, just when you think you've got it, I'm going to throw in a slew of parabolas and mix it all up. What, Chad, there's two types of carbs? Puh. These are the basics, so concepts like reactive foods and lectins and ideas about what makes food good or bad are not going to be used a lot. That's deep next level stuff, and you can find that stuff on my other podcasts and on my other blogs. This is why everyone in kinesiology and pre-med at one time in their studies decides they are going to major in nutrition. Because it's a ton of impressive sounding words that's a blast to dive into, and it has set rules like math. You can figure it all out in the classroom and it's just grand until you put it into real life and it all just goes to hell. Nutrition in reality is chock full of yeah buts. As in last night when my dad asks, "Hey, a potato's a vegetable, right?" Sort of, Dad. Yeah, but peanuts are good, right? All right, let's get to the basics. There are three general categories of food. All foods break down into these three categories. Lately, they are called macros, as in macronutrients, a term that you'll come to just hate if you've ever been cornered by friendly CrossFitters or bodybuilders and people new to the paleo primal diet experimenters. These guys are obsessed with discussing each specific gram of macros they ingest, each meal, and their ratios, and blah, 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 the macros. The three macros are carbs, which are carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Your foods are made up of these in different ratios. They provide the calories the body burns to live and run and work and think. Carbs, proteins, and fats are the energy sources for the body. It's important to understand the differences in these because they all act differently when they're adjusted in your diet. They all do different stuff when they're eaten. So where are these then? Well, carbs are anything bready, sugary, starchy, and grainy. Pasta, cereals, rice, rice, bread and rice, oats, cookies, syrups, potatoes. They also are the primary energy in fruits and vegetables like apples, oranges, papaya, asparagus, lettuce, and broccoli. Carbs, as a term, is often interchanged with sugars when speaking about diet. This is because when you eat carbs, the saliva in your spit and the acids in your stomach break down these carbs into sugars. Carb molecules are big, and big molecules couldn't get past the gut lining, so they break down into little components, sugars, which pass into the blood. Your body can then use these sugars to top off levels in the muscles and store a little bit more for later. Your body makes insulin to allow this transportation and the storage. Think of diabetics here. This is why they need to stay away from a lot of carbs and especially away from sugars, because they don't make insulin. So there is no way to haul it away, and sugary blood is no bueno. Carbs are neither good nor bad. They're needed, but not nearly as much as previously taught in the 1990s and prior, with things like carb loading and giant spaghetti dinners before we ran a marathon. In fact, and hang with me here, because the body is a miraculous machine, if you have too many floating carbs, the muscles just can't take it all in. So it starts dumping it off to the liver. The liver fills up quickly and says, screw this, man, there's way too much sugar floating around in here. Hey guys, turn the extra sugar into fat, and then they'll store it for the days when we're starving. As in body fat, love handles, a fat ass and flabby triceps. We can use it then. Seems our ancestors didn't have 70,000 square foot grocery stores down the street, and occasionally they had to go hungry at times. Hence, fat storage, which is simply saving energy for a later date. Psst, guys, you don't need to do this anymore. Okay, that's deep enough for this article. The main point is to get what foods have carbs in them. There's going to be a quiz later. Proteins. Think meats primarily. Muscle, baby. Actually, the muscle from other animals. Now, before vegans start throwing bean burritos and tofu burgers at me, yes, there is protein in some plants. I get it. I teach it. But this is Nutrition Basics 101, and I want a basic understanding here. There's also some protein in milk, etc., but for the most part, we're talking animal products. Proteins can be used for fuel, and similar to how the carb craze of the 1980s and 1990s kicked in, the protein craze of the 2000s and the 20-teens exploded for basically the same reason the carb kick decades earlier did. There's a lot of protein in muscle, so the scientists, you know, wait, that's not fair. So the journalist reporting what the scientists found said, eat a ton more protein, it'll go to the muscles. Well, kind of. Hopefully, it's pretty easy to imagine protein as a muscle because that's what the muscle is made up of. Your steak, your burger, your eggs, fish, tofu, which is a protein from soy, chicken and sausage, it's high protein. Just like sugars, proteins shouldn't get into the blood as a whole. If your gut is working properly, they will break down into smaller parts called amino acids. The amino acids are what gets into the blood and travels via the highway system of the body to organs, muscles, and skin, and repairs damage. So here's a caveat. Too many proteins can also end up being stored as body fat. You better truly need that 75 gram protein blast shake after your 12-minute workout there, champ. On to fats. Fats are kind of the trickiest to explain. Back in the World War II era, it was easy. Fat was fat. The fat on steak was fat. The meat was protein with a fine marbling of fat. Milk was milk, and 2% milk meant 2% of the natural milk fat was still present. Whole had the full amount of fat, which is about 4 to 5%, and skim milk was basically milk without the fat. The fat was skimmed off, because anyone from the 1930s with a butter churn worth a damn would tell you that when you let milk sit for a while, the fat rises to the top, as in cream, and you can then skim it off, a la butter, or cream, the fat part. Wow, Chad, that's not too hard. Well, the mad scientists in the food industry can basically do magic with fats and carbs and turn into anything. Think like double stuff, both the cookie part and the creamy goo of double stuff. Fat started getting a really bad rap in the late 70s and 80s because all the chemical crap was coming out and the mad scientist labs were making people sick and cancerous and actually physically fat. But it can't be the scientists, PhDs, and doctors, because doctors are our friends. So it must be the fat. Yeah, it was too much fat. I think it went something like this. Scientist number one, whose name is Bob. Hey, Earl, I think fat might be bad. Scientist number two is Earl. Well, okay then, let's just substitute the fat in foods for transglutamate 1K3K polysaccharide diglutamide thione carbonate. And damn, Earl, that tastes like crap. Well, okay, just add 32 grams of sugar. How's it now? Well, it's doable. Actually, the fifth time I tried it, I kind of crave it now. Well, hell, technically, we can call it fat-free now. We did substitute it. I wonder if the guys at marketing can sell that. Doctor number one, phew, man, that was close. Despite millions of years of just getting by, we totally avoided a fat-pocalypse. Good work, Earl. You want a Diet Coke? You see, they were lab chemicals. Lab chemicals is an amazing, incredible blend of carbs, fats, and carbon chains replaced in ways nature never intended. These blends resulted in some of the most crazy technologically advanced products in the world, some of which were deemed even okay to eat and further altered to make them tasty over repeated exposure. Think of like cheese puff dust on Pringles as an example. Yeah, cheese puff dust, not a real food. Well, science food blending has all grown up, guys. Cheesy chemicals are now just called cheese. You can put on the label. It's not actually cheese. Cheese doesn't do what Velveeta does, but it's called cheese just the same. For this article, don't think of chemicals as fats here. It's just so deep, it'll melt your mind. And I'm not great at explaining organic chemistry very easily. So let's get modern. No, strike that. Let's go ancient and think of fats as God intended. Fats come either as a semi-solid or liquid at normal temperature. So think of things creamy and slippery, like butter, and oils like avocado oil, olive oil, coconut oil, pure oils. In fact, avocado itself is a very high fat fruit or vegetable, whichever side of the fence you lean on. Nuts are very high in fat. The fat part of meat, such as bacon, kind of half fat, half protein. Now we're dancing, everyone. You got it. It's time for a quiz. Everyone, dissect a Whopper for me. A Whopper. Well, here's how it goes. The bun is carbs. The meat is protein and a little fat, and the sauce is chemical crap. The tomato, lettuce, and onion is carbs. The ketchup is chemical crap that your brain will so desperately try to convince you is tomato. And the cheese is basically fat. And review. And this is where it just gets so difficult because of the billion served forces like fast food joints, food just isn't what it appears. The buns are modified. It's not just bread. So is the sauce. The meat was modified until a few years ago, and I still have a hard time thinking there's not something more added to it to give it a unique taste and make it last longer via shipping routes and shelf life, etc. Cheese, we talked about already. It's mostly chemical crap. You know what? I just have an easier way. Grab whatever food you want to and just look at the ingredient list. Go ahead and just look. I mean, if I bake bread at my house, it's flour, small amounts of sugar, water, salt, and yeast. Bread, it's basically all carbs. Now go to your pantry and look at the ingredient list on bread for me. I'll wait here for a minute. Go on, get it. Holy schmoly, Batman, what's all that? Exactly. That's why we're all so confused. The bread in the package has like 37 ingredients. Yet education on all this nutrition stuff is at the 1900s level. And that's just not how food is made anymore. That's why the revolution in caveman type eating and diet plans like paleo and primitive and caveman and carnivore and hunting and foraging, that's why that stuff's here to stay. Because if you can kill it or pick it, you can probably eat it, right? With not too many problems? Wait, your food doesn't have an ingredient list? Well then, it's probably real food. Okay, hang with me here and we'll go over the diet revolution. Let's just say that you're, a 20 to 70 year old man and decades of eating crap and confusing diets have left you in subpar health. If you decide keto, let's say, in an effort to reset insulin resistance, which is a huge killer in our country, keto basically means no carbs. You're looking for a reset. There is a reason for you. As I said earlier, carbs are neither good nor bad, but people on a low-carb diet could greatly benefit, especially people such as diabetics and people trying to starve off cancer cells and people looking to reset a chronically inflamed body. Think of Crohn's, colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus. These guys might benefit from keto because the inflammatories that are found in those sugars keep the body lit up. The body's a miracle, see? You can still make fuels for your muscle and brain from fats. So in the keto, you sub in good fats as a replacement for carbs. Good fats are non-scientist altered things like coconut, avocado, olives, nuts, and oils. And for God's sakes, be careful because there's a million posers out there. Margarine is not butter. Coconut and olive oil comes as virgin or processed. Guacamole can be fair game, but if it's in a package that has plastic on it, it'll probably have 100 ingredients. 100 ingredients is not avocado, salt, and pepper. So know this and look for it. Watch for the sneaky guys. This leads us to why some diet plans, some carbs, even fruits are out. Until the reset you need is seen. And in some cases, that's a long-term, even lifelong process. In fact, the term keto is actually ketosis, which is burning fats for energy rather than carbs, and not to be substituted for ketoacidosis, which is basically a byproduct and overspill of fats. I mean, I'm telling you guys, we can get so deep with this. My brain is whirling right now with body miracles and how to explain it all. So let's just back up for a second here. Those big three were the macros, remember? Carbs, fat, protein. There are also micros. These are the vitamins and nutrients your body needs to make the miracles happen. There, that's it. That's as far as I'm willing to go with this. But get this, if a fruit is deemed a superfood or miracle food, you need a little context before you jump on board. Is it a huge boost of micronutrients, say vitamin A, which is a great micronutrient for your eyes, but it's surrounded by a gazillion carbs, as fruit or fruit juice is likely to be? Because that jacks with a guy with diverticulitis or a guy on a low-carb diet because he's attacking prostate cancer. You see what I'm saying? You have to have a context to try this stuff. You're gonna hear about this miracle drug, but if you're fighting prostate cancer, that miracle food, might not work for what you're trying to do. So this is the amazing difficulty with writing a nutrition 101 paper, because this stuff is intertwined like spider webs. Everything is connected. And there's a profound amount of dogma and old wives' tales and people that just want to know, is this good or bad? Don't despair, however. Keep it simple and experiment. But at the same time, see why the newest trends like intermittent fasting, keto, and heck, even Atkins from 2 decades ago, why they do so well. Because you simply just have a lot less variables to add to the equation. Because when you're on those diets, you are eating so many less ingredients. If you just simply start to eat pure, you've taken the difficulty of nutrition from senior year calculus back to like 7th grade algebra. I mean, it's still a little crazy, but it's totally doable. Okay, take a deep breath. And actually, just take 6 deep breaths because the studies for mind reset and immediate blood pressure drop is 6 deep breaths. It's time for quiz question number 2. Why are people such as myself adding coconut oil and some ghee to their coffee in the morning? Well, one, it's a way to add a little good fats in the morning, usually in an effort to get the body some macros, but ensure there isn't any carbs jacking up their insulin in their early morning routine. If I'm doing like that with a stack of pancakes and syrup and powdered sugar sprinkles, I'm basically doing it because I'm uninformed, or I feel a prolonged state of fasting is coming up and I want to increase my fat storages in love handles because I fear the impending ice age. If you're doing extra fats into your diet while you're keeping high carbs, especially high simple sugary carbs in your body, it's a bad idea, guys. It doesn't work. Okay, let's just go through some easy ones here because it's fun and I wrote this article for my dad. Let's quiz him. An avocado, which macronutrient am I primarily? How about macadamia nuts? That's right, guys, they're both fats and those are good fats. How about a tortilla? Basically, it's carbs. The fats down here in South Texas, they've got a lot of fat in it too. The tortillas tend to add lard. Carbs and fats together, it's a recipe for getting fat. How about water? Well, it's nothing. Sometimes it's classified as a macronutrient, but water's nothing. Have as much as you want. How about apple juice? Well, apple juice is tricky. It's terribly high in sugars. It's not healthy for really anybody. Juice itself really isn't that healthy. It's like power slamming 7 apples into your gullet and into your blood with no digestion, which just really isn't very healthy or smart. How about peanut butter? Peanut butter's a wicked twist of engineering to make your brain hurt. So here's the answer. You have to read the label on peanut butter because there's a million different types and there's a million different concoctions. Some of them are ground peanuts. Most of them have 37 ingredients and it's chemicals. How about spinach? Spinach, of course, it's a carb, but it's a healthy vegetable. This is the kind of carbs that you want. How about honey? That's natural, that's healthy, right? It's pure sugar, it's a carb. How about a potato? It's a carb, Some people don't even classify it as a vegetable at all. They just call it a straight starch. How about broccoli? That's a carb, and it's a carb mixed with a lot of fiber. And this is how we get to stage two in this gigantuan article. Carbs from vegetables and some fruits are different. Yep, I wanted to keep it easy, but too bad, you have to learn this. There's actually two types of carbs. There's simple and there's complex. Simple carbs go straight into sugars in your gut, like apple juice. It's sugar, people. It's similar to drinking a Coke. In fact, here's some trivia for you. A lot of times you can use apple juice in place of oral glucose when testing for diabetes because it has so much sugar, it gets the same insulin results. But now if you switch to just an apple, which has a lot of fiber and form to it, you're getting a little more complex. It's a mix of complex and simple carbs, but it still tastes pretty sweet, so you know it's still got a lot of sugar. Move over a little bit to vegetables like broccoli, and you have a much higher ratio of complex carbs and a way lower amount of simple sugars, which is much, much better for you. But it's not very sweet tasting, is it, Dad? The same goes for spinach, arugula, and leafy salad ingredients. These complex carbs are what all of us should be injecting into our diets, as they basically have a nil amount of insulin requirement, and they help shunt in good fats into your system. Salad stuff is very good for you. So a big green salad with olive oil and a sprinkling of nuts may be a bang-up incredible meal, even for those trying to stay with a high-fat diet. A glass of orange juice, however, is akin to speed eating 4 oranges in 7 seconds. Your body goes into shock mode. Oh my gosh, guys, I'm sorry. I know this is getting long and I know it's complicated. The idea was to make it easier to process so you can make better decisions, and I'm not exactly sure I have. How about I leave you with this? Get your carbs more over to the complex variety. Leafy greens, cauliflower, broccoli, things with some fiber. Get in your good fats. If you're 27 to 85 year old, don't be scared of fats anymore. It wasn't them that was the fear anyway. It was the chemicals and the sugars that used to replace them. Fat-free labeled food is out. It's no good. Proteins, you need some. Maybe not as much as you thought or the bro at the gym is telling you, but you need some. Start to look at labels. It explains the ratio right there. On a label on anything in the U.S., fats, carbs, with a breakdown into sugars, and proteins is right on the label. Hey, and while you're browsing the label, just look at ingredients. Is there a lot of 50-cent tough-to-pronounce words? Well then, yeah, those are chemicals. That food-like substance came from a lab somewhere. Lastly, don't make this miserable. I have tons of articles about just substituting a word to change your mindset. Diet is the word in question here. If that means the food you eat, you call diet your food, well then no problem. But if diet means restrictive misery, change your word. Real food is delicious and it should be enjoyed, loved, and fun. Food should make us happy. You can create, cook, learn to love food, real food again. That means not concocted chemicals, sauces, and packaged drivel. Now listen, your taste buds will change. I mentioned this before in an article, how absolutely terrible a Pringle taste if you haven't had one for a few months. I did this for like almost a year and had one of my kids' Pringles. It was horrible. Yet, it was incredible how when I got to like the 14th Pringle, the taste good as you chowed them down. It takes time, but I'm telling you, it's amazing to have your real world taste buds open up and explore the world again when chemicals clear out of your body. We've been on this crap for way too long. My dad constantly tells me how he'll never eat broccoli, as in fist pounding fact, I'll never eat broccoli. But as his taste buds naturalize to what nature intended, I'm thinking maybe it won't taste so horrible. If it was roasted to perfection, with a great buttered dollop, a dash of salt, and a spritz of orange splash, could maybe change his mind. Well, probably not. But I guess we'll see, huh?